Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, day to be different, just to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming, medium wave 15480 satellite Islam, and we are truly, truly blessed. We started the week with a bit of cold snap, and alhamdulillah, today, truly blessed. Sunshine, brilliant sunshine, no cloud cover in our area, and we are definitely going to be taking advantage of this weather, and we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest this morning, and someone that we haven't spoken to, and that is Mike Kruger. Now, Mike Kruger comes from the Top Crop Nursery, and we're going to talk about lawns. Now, lawn often make up most of our gardens, parks, and when healthy, forms a lush green carpet for outdoor family get-togethers, just for lying down, relaxing, and soaking in the South African sun. That's what we have our lawns for. But people say lawns are guzzlers for water. And we're going to be joined by Mike, who's going to help us along and explain everything about lawns. We're not only talking about lawns, we're talking about, well, lawns type of grass as well. So we can talk about lawns, grasses, ornamental grasses. And remember, you could join our conversation anytime. The number to dial this morning, 854-1548, for any queries, any questions that you have. And it's a perfect time when looking around. You've gone through this season, and you may not have been happy with the performance of the patch of grass that you've had in your garden. I'm calling it a patch of grass because sometimes it's not just lawn, but it may have been infested with weeds and so forth. So it may be time for you to look at an alternative. Are there alternative grasses, or do we only know one or two? And Mike is going to help unravel all of that. Hi, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ismail.
Thank you very much, Fulham.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to help you out today.
Thank you, Mike. Now, you know, you come in from, as I spoke to you earlier in the week, tell us something from where you come in. What's Top Crop Nursery all about, and how did you get involved?
Well, Top Crop Nursery has been going for 35 years. We are based very close to Albert Falls, which is on the road to Greytown from Pietermaritzburg. We are not really a commercial, at least a nursery for the home owner. We produce plants mainly for other nurseries. You are very welcome to come and visit us. Anybody is welcome to come and purchase from the nursery directly, but most of our trading is done commercially. In other words, we supply plants to other nurseries all over the country.
Now, Mike, having said that, you know, whenever I speak to many of you know, our guests, they always say they come in from a history of gardening. Do you also come from that history? Do you have a background? Your family been part of gardeners, or is it that you got in by chance?
No, my father had a nursery in Glen Glover in 1962.
Wow.
So it's a long period that I've been involved in this industry.
And whilst being in the industry, have you only specialized in glasses, or have you done lots of other aspects of gardening? For example, have you done, you know, horticulture as a general subject, and then went out to look at people's gardens, design and so forth? Or has yours just been purely with regards to grasses and lawns?
No, we cover a very wide range of crops. Believe it or not, from forestry plants that are cloned today, right through to vegetable seedlings, and then all the ornamental crops that one can imagine. So we cover a very wide spectrum of plants.
And have you been involved in hybridization of plants? You know, that's the trend today, that we're looking at plants become more sort of disease resistant, and looking for the trends and what's happening in the industry and so forth. Does that happen with you as well?
Yes, we probably lead the country in the diversification of species of grasses at the moment, lawn and turf grasses. And at the same time, we have embarked on developing a lot of our indigenous wild bunching grasses, which are now being used quite extensively in landscaping situations.
And are you following trends very closely? Because I know South Africa, where you get lots of ideas coming in from both the UK, US, and Chelsea is not very far off. Would you be watching them very closely to see the trends and then develop on that, or are you trendsetters?
I believe we are trendsetters. When I started with lawn and turf grasses, there was absolutely no knowledge on lawn and turf grasses in South Africa. In fact, it was a very, very poorly understood industry, and we've now sort of we've managed to look at all our indigenous grasses and classify them. A lot of these grasses now we've DNA printed, so we know exactly what we're dealing with.
You know, on that question, we always have, you know, people coming in, I don't know, specific countries, but some would come in and perhaps take over those and say they belong to them. And we know we've had this big debate with certain plants of ours, specifically, for example, the rooibos has come in, people trying to say, well, it belongs to ours now, and trying to take it. Have you had the same sort of arguments with put with grasses? Oh, no, no, they belong to us, and they've given them a new name and say, look, fine, we'll say they now belong to our area in the world. Is that happening with grasses as well?
Yes, I would say one of the major problems that we have is because South Africa's a relatively small market. One of the major problems that we faced with is that no seed of lawn grasses are produced in South Africa. It's too small an industry for people to get involved. So. All our seeded varieties or grasses that you want to go and buy off the shelf in seed form will come from either the United States or from Australia. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of that breeding is done for seed production and not for the purpose that the plant is required for. So it is a major problem. And I think over the years, some of these grasses have actually contaminated our indigenous stock.
Now, we're talking about, you know, the different types of grasses and the challenges that we have with regards to protecting them. And, you know, we've had that with our medicinal plants as well. And, you know, like there's a lot of things that we find that the industries are eyeing on. Are there any particular grasses that would lend itself to medicinal purposes in South Africa?
Could you repeat that, Ismail? I didn't catch that.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, plants that have medicinal value. And are there any particular grasses that have this value that would be taken over by the, you know, giants overseas and say, look, fine, and then develop it into a drug form and so forth? Is that happening with grasses as well?
Not really. Most of our grasses don't contain that amount of phenols and resins and that type of product to warrant extraction. So it's not really a problem in our industry.
And what do you think is, you know, your quick prediction, you know, coming in 2016 and going into 2017, with grasses still a very big space to occupy in our gardens and landscaping?
Yes, I think one of the major problems is to understand what grass grows where and how it should be utilized. The choice of grass, particularly during dry periods, should be looked at very carefully. There are grasses that are more drought resistant than others, and during the wetter periods, one can actually change your lawn. You don't have to stick with one lawn the whole time, and there are ways of doing that as well.
You know, the argument that lawns are water guzzlers and that you should start reducing the amount of space that you have for lawns, does it hold work still, or do you think that's not a fair argument?
Well, again, it's a choice of the lawn. Let's take a grass like Kikuyu, which everybody knows. It's not a grass that one would use in Durban anyway, because it's not suited to that type of climate. That it would be a grass that would require a lot of irrigation. So it's a grass that one would want to phase out, and one would choose something with a much, much higher drought tolerance.
Okay, now you're going to help us just unravel some of these. You know, we've got a number of lawns, and the first one, of course, is the one that we on our side of the world know very well, and that's the Kikuyu. You spoke slightly about that. Take us through the different type of grasses that we can get and where it is suited for example, you know, different grasses for the Cape Town, for the Western Cape and Eastern Cape, and then also for Johannesburg and Cape Durban. So let's go through the different lawns. I think the first one everyone knows is Kikuyu. Let's speak about the Kikuyu.
Well, Kikuyu is not indigenous to South Africa. It comes from Kenya, from East Africa. sexualized. There's arguments that one should get rid of it and plant other things. But if you actually go to the National Botanical Institute in Cape Town, Kirstenbosch Gardens, you'll find that kikuyu is the grass that's used in that situation. So kikuyu will be here to stay. The problem with it is that it requires a lot of irrigation and it requires a lot of mowing. So if you want to plant kikuyu, be aware that it requires water and it requires a lot of mowing.
Thank you very much for that one. Let's go on to the others now. The other one that seems to be growing in popularity is the buffalo one. Tell us the difference and where did the name buffalo come from?
Buffalo is obviously a generic name that's popped out of somewhere. I wouldn't be able to tell you how it was named. The botanical name is Stenotetrum secundatum, and it's indigenous, believe it or not, two South African coastal regions. It is the only grass that occurs at Cape Point. And that has been a reserve for probably almost Simon Fuzzatell's time. So it's indigenous to our coastal area. One of its attributes, it will grow very well in sandy conditions. One of the reasons why it does well in sandy conditions, it's got a very hard leaf, and as the wind blows, it's able to shake the sand off and survive in that matter. So it's a good coastal grass. Tends to require a fair amount of water if you want it to look good all the time, but it has got a fair amount of drought tolerance. Although it will go back in drier periods.
And in terms of comfort, would you be able to walk on barefoot like you are able to walk on the kikuyu? Is it the same thing with buffalo? Would you find it harsh to walk on it, or is it quite comfortable to sit and relax, wanting to use in open spaces with that? And then would it be sort of child friendly?
Yes, it's not a very hard grass at all. It's quite comfortable to sit on.
And would it do well, for example, in Johannesburg, or is it just for the coastal areas?
Look, it's been tried in Johannesburg. There was a strain that came from Australia that has been bandied around, but unfortunately, it doesn't take the cold as well as kikuyu, and unless one is able to manage it carefully, in other words, early in the morning, wash all the frost off, etc., it'll take strain in Johannesburg. I personally wouldn't recommend it for Johannesburg. I would go for one of the other grasses for Johannesburg.
And what about mowing conditions? As harsh as a kikuyu that you would do very often, or not as often as a kikuyu?
Nowhere near as much. It's not nearly as quick growing as kikuyu.
Okay. The next one we have is, the Birria one. Tell us something about Birria, and why is the name Birria? I'm just wondering. Birria Johannesburg, Birria Durban, is that anyway? Tell us something about Birria glass.
I think it probably comes from Durban. Birria Durban, I wouldn't be, I couldn't be correct in answering that truthfully, but I would imagine it comes from Birria. It's also known very well as LM grass.
That's right.
In Johannesburg, they know it as LM grass. Now, this is a grass that combines very well with kikuyu. And in fact, it also grows very well with buffalo. And if you plant the buffalo or the kikuyu with the Birria will tend to dominate both grasses in the shade. Although LM or Birria will grow very, very well in full sun. My preference of all three of the grasses that we've mentioned would be the Birria LM grass, for the very good reason that it will grow into fairly heavy shade, and I'll come back to the shade story just now, but it will also grow very, very, very well in full sun. It requires a fair amount of watering, but even in drought conditions, it will go back and it will survive quite tough conditions. So it is a good all round choice of grass. And what happens in a garden? You have shrubs and you have walls and you have boundaries, etc. And there's very few grasses that will compete in all those environments. So it is a very good all round grass.
We've just got about a minute before we go for news. Just quickly take us to the cynodon. Tell us about cynodon. What's the cynodon grass and what's its value?
Cynodon, some people know it as Bermuda grass. It is probably one of the widest grown grasses throughout the world. South Africa is blessed with probably 100 different species varieties of cynodon. There are a number of species that we use in lawn and turf conditions. Very good drought-resistant grasses, and for those that would like a fine lawn, that is the type of grass one would choose, and will withstand drought far better than the other three grasses that we've mentioned.
Mike, we're going to go for a news break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Thank you very much. Stay tuned.
Bye.
Bye. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, dear, a bit different. My name is Mark Riyama. Just wonderful to have all of you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming Midway 15418 Satellite Islam. And we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest this morning, and that's Mike Kruger from Top Crop Nursery. And we're talking all things grass and lawns. And Mike has given us some wonderful descriptions of the different lawns, and we're going to be looking at other issues as well. Remember to join our conversation at any time. The number to dial 854-1548. Any queries, any concerns that you have specifically with regards to lawns. The number again, 854-1548. Hi, good morning, Mike.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being with us once again. And we're talking, you know, just before the break, you're telling us about the cynodon grass, and also known as Bermuda grass. It's a very fine grass. Do you think that would be the best grass for us as South Africans?
Yes. If you were going to have a totally treeless garden, cynodon would be probably the answer. But unfortunately, that is not what happens. Cynodons, unfortunately, are very fine leafed, and one of the reasons why they don't do well under shade is their leaf area is too small to assimilate sufficient sunlight to grow under shade. So they're very poor shade-growing grasses. If you have a full sun area, hot, drier area, that is where I would look at using the cynodons. And there are a number of them, and some of them are very different. Some of them are used extensively on sports fields today, but I would be looking at a situation where you have a very flat, smooth surface rather than undulating surface, because mowing the grass requires a very flat surface.
Now, what about, you know, areas that are colder, for example, if you're going into our colder regions in South Africa? Would that cynodon do good, or which one would do best in that area?
All your grasses, apart from what we would term cool season grasses, which come from Europe, are going to go brown in winter. There is no grass, including kukuyu, that will withstand the frost and remain green right throughout winter. So, but your cynodons will go brown and they'll come back again in summer. So none of the grasses that we mentioned, apart from maybe the buffalo, are going to die out because of cold. The cynodons are pretty tough, and there are quite a few different types of them. And we can discuss that as we go along.
Now, golf estates have huge patches, huge swaths of grass. Is there a particular grass, or is it one of these four grasses that you've mentioned?
Could you repeat that? I didn't quite catch that.
The Gulf estates that we have, do they use one of these four grasses, or do they have a very different grass? And on the same question, whilst Mike, you know that we have our soccer grounds as well, you know, do they also use the same grasses, or do they have a different grass altogether?
Okay, let's start with the golf estates. The golf courses have tended to prefer to go to something like Kikuyu. And on the coast, a lot of the golf estates have gone with a grass called paspalum. Paspalum is a grass that grows extensively in riverine estuaries. If you go into any of our rivers the whole way around South Africa, down into the Cape, up even into Mozambique, you'll see grass growing almost in the sea. That is paspalum. A lot of our courses on the coast have gone to paspalum on their fairways, because the cyanodon grasses themselves are too hard. The ball tends to bounce too much on them, so they prefer to go for the paspalums. And golf courses, you know, on the reef, inland, tend to go for Kikuyu. My preference would be to look at a cyanodon dactylon type. Now, you get two types of cyanodons. One is cyanodon dactylon, and the other one is cyanodon transvolensis. The cyanodon dactylon tends to be bigger, taller, slightly thicker leafed, and the transvolensis are very, very fine leafed, the tiny leaf fine grasses that you would find in high traffic areas, which I'm sure you've noticed before. These two grasses, in fact, cross. They will cross with each other, and they will produce a hybrid, and that hybrid will always be a mule. In other words, the seed won't be viable, and that has been used quite extensively to keep the variety that you want pure and true to type.
Okay, so that's the golf. Is it? What about the soccer grounds?
Okay, soccer grounds, we ourselves have planted a number of soccer fields. We have planted Moses Mabhida in the past. We've planted Harry Gwala Stadium here in Pietermaritzburg, and a lot of fields around the country. We use two cyanodons. One is one of the cyanodon transvolensis types, and the other one is a cyanodon dactylon. And the reason for that is growing them together, they look very similar, but what in fact occurs over the year is as it gets warmer, the dactylon tends to take over, and during the winter months, the transvolensis tends to take over, because transvolensis will continue growing for at least a month or 2 months longer than the dactylon types.
So it's a mixture of the two. And in terms of comfort, you know, to a barefoot, would that be sort of harsh, or would it be a softer grass, or what would that be?
Again, it depends on how it's managed. If it's managed well, in other words, growing in good, well-drained soil, cyanodons should be quite soft to walk on. They won't be hard. It's only once they start being pushed into a dry condition that they will tend to start to become erect and hard and rough. But if they're growing under good conditions, they will be just as soft as any other grass.
And would be a good alternative to, you know, our lawns? Would this be a different, or could you perhaps consider it? Would a person be able to consider this?
Yes, I would say there's a very good grass called Gulf Green, which has been used quite extensively. It's very, very well adapted to the reef, the colder areas. It's very well adapted in the Cape. It's being used extensively in KZN, and a very good all-round cyanodon grass. Has a lovely, brilliant green color, and if grown correctly, will have a very nice soft feel. The only concern that one has with that type of grass is that the surface that it's growing on must be fairly smooth, because if you start mowing any of your fine nodens and there are undulations, you will tend to scalp some of the grass and the other portion will be too high. So once you start scalping, it starts to look ugly.
Okay, so that is an alternative. And if you're wanting to buy them and going to a garden center, you would ask for Golf Green, or going to any place that sells lawns, you'd ask for Golf Green. Is that correct? Okay, so that's the Golf Green, and that's the one that you would be able to use. It's part of the Synodon family, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Well, you know, so we've done a number of grasses, we looked at different grasses. I don't know if it's a fair question, but Mike, what would be your preference for grasses? If you had to look at a grass and say, I beg your pardon, this is a grass I would grow, which one would that be, Mike?
Okay, my preference all round at this particular point in time would be the Brea, because, and then mixing it, and don't be afraid to mix, because once you start mowing, you will hardly see the difference. So it would be probably a very good idea to mix the a grass like Brea and Golf Green together, and plant them in a situation where one will dominate the other in its particular required area. The beauty of that is that in the sunny areas and the harder, harsher areas, the cynodon will take over, and then as soon as you start getting into shady areas, your Brea will take over.
So the good mix would be a Brea and a Golf Green, so the cynodon and the Golf Green, I beg your pardon, the Brea. Thank you very much for that advice. Now, well, let's look at the ornamental grasses and grass type of plants and so forth. That has now become very fashionable, and we find that there's a huge variety. Actually, we spoiled for choices here in South Africa. Take us through some of that. We're not going to manage all of them, but just tell us what it is and what are the different types of grasses and ornamental grass and, you know, whilst we do drive, and especially if you're driving from Johannesburg and you're going into Natal and you find the Orange Free State, you find lots and lots of different grasses, and we're not too sure what it is. And tell us some of those grasses and tell us why we should be planting ornamental grasses.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind me mentioning a website to go on to.
It's fine. Please go ahead.
It's www.superlawn.co.za, and on that site you'll see I've put pictures of a garden in Kloof, in KZN, where the whole garden has been landscaped with one indigenous grass, and it looks absolutely magnificent. As you drive down the side of the road, and you look on the side of the road, as you've mentioned, you will see numerous different grasses. We probably, because during the Ice Age, South Africa wasn't totally denuded of all its vegetation. Glacial action probably pushed a lot of material down and stopped. In South Africa, we have more grasses than any other country in the world. So we have this abundance of indigenous material. And it's only recently that we've been able to start working with these grasses. One of the problems associated with these grasses is the germination of the seed. And through a lot of work done through Natal University, and ourselves, we've managed to break dormancy of a number of the grasses, and we now are able to list and supply a lot of these grasses for ornamental use. One of the grasses that I'd like to mention is a grass called Aristida juncifermus. the African name for it is Ngongoni grass, It's a very tall growing grass, quite a tall growing grass, gets up to about knee height, and has a very white, pretty inflorescence during summer. Very, very drought resistance, grows on incredibly poor soils, and if landscaped correctly, will be an absolute must for a garden. In fact, if one goes to the airport, King Shaka Airport in Durban, you'll see that they're landscaping the whole area now with this grass. It's available in tug formats. All of these grasses are now available in tug formats from ourselves.
Sorry, I mean, just would you be able to give me, whilst you gave us the botanical name, if you had to go into a nursery or a garden centre, what grass would you ask for?
We'd ask for Aristida gentiformis. The botanical name, nobody knows it with a common name at all. It's known as Aristida.
So it's the Aristida grass, okay. And then its height and its and the texture and colour, can you take us to some of that?
Yes, look, it's a fairly tall grass. It's got a big base, and it covers an area. If you plant it about 12 plants per square meter, you'll get full coverage and a very, very dense stand. The color is dark green during the summer months, and then in winter it will go brown. As it goes into dormancy, and it just stands there as a beautiful brown looking cover. At around about this time of the year, it will flower. So if you're looking for it on the side of the road, you'll notice it's got quite a white tufty type of flower.
Yes, I think I've seen a lot of that though. It's a white tuft top, is that correct?
Yes, it's not. There are a number of grasses that have white tufts. There's one called cotton wool grass that you'll see on the side of the road quite extensively, and that particular grass is used for rehabilitation type work. But I wouldn't look at it as a lawn, at least a garden plant.
And this particular plant that you're mentioning, would it, you know, sort of be a foreground or a background plant? Where would you plant it? And would you plant it in clusters or would you plant it individually just to make a statement? Well, how would you plant this grass?
I would definitely look at it in a fairly large area as a multiple planting, not as an individual plant. It would not stand out as an individual plant. It needs to be planted in a cluster, probably a couple of square meters at a time, so you need to cluster them.
Okay, so we've gone to one. Give us the others. You know, there's a lot of others that have now come on, and which one do you think is going to sort of make the statement for 2016, 2017? Which grasses do you think people would be buying and putting into their gardens?
There's a very, very interesting grass which you will notice on the side of the road this time of the year as well. It flowers with a red colour. It's called Natal Red Top, the common name. Melanus repens. It has a brother or sister line which we call Melanus Navy Grunus. The two grasses are quite different, although they are from the same genus, which is the Melanus species. But the Melanus nervicumus is a plant that has almost like a bristle top. Very, very pretty. Stands out fantastically in a garden situation. Again, it must be planted in mass rather than individual plants.
Now, do you have, you know, some of our grasses that sort of give us a feed of the autumn where it grows from you know, green and then go into those very dense bronze and reds, and you know, eventually go and dry. Is there anything like that in South Africa?
Oh yes, there are a number of those grasses, but you'll find that not all of them are suited all year round. What I would suggest is for your listeners to go onto our website, have a good look, browse around. There's massive amount of information on the website. There's a bulletin on the website, which is about 46 pages, which you can download. That bulletin is password protected, so give our office a call on 0335691333, and they will give you the password. We protected that particular bulletin because we didn't want anybody else to have access to it unless they knew we know who it is.
Okay, if I can just go back. What's the website number? You know, the telephone number is 0335691333.
That's correct.
Okay, and the website?
The website is www.superlawn.co.za.
Oh, so it was earlier on that you've given us. It's the same. It's yes. The same email.
Same website.
Thank you very much.
There's a massive amount of information on that website, and I update it quite regularly.
Just final question: cordylines, are they part of the grass families as well?
No, they're not. They're completely euphorbia. Family, they're not anything to do with grasses.
Well, thank you very much. We haven't even covered what I said. We're supposed to look at lawn diseases, lawn pests, lawn weeds, and how to look after lawns and how to find. But we'll have to get you on some other time, Mike, to continue the conversation. It's been really, really informative. I've learned so much, and I'm sure so have our listeners. And I know we're going to get you back to be our guest again to continue that conversation. But thank you very much, and everything of the best. You take care. Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
Hope to speak to you again. Bye.
And that was Mike Kruger from Top Crop Nursery. And like I said, we set out to do so much this morning. Unfortunately, we're not able to cover not even half of what we set out to do. But he's given us a good insight into different types of lawns. And I think, there's been lots of queries. I know there's lots of queries about types of lawns. And I know that many of you are now going to go out and look at different lawns. The cyanidin is something that we could look at. The Birya lawn, the mixture between Birya and cyanidin. Lots and lots of ideas. And we are looking at wanting to change our lawns. We're not very happy with what has happened in the past season. In the season that we are going to go into, inshallah, there's lots of ideas. That's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.